Right, let me bring us together now around the reading of God's word. And today I said it's different from your bulletin. So it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. And that is the title of our talk with you today, our communion meditation, and that is Proclaiming Christ. And your thought for today is, let your life in Christ proclaim the extent of the sacrifice that was given for it. Let your life in Christ proclaim the extent of the sacrifice that was given for it. So what do we proclaim in the supper? What is it that we proclaim? Well, some of the things is that we proclaim union with Christ. That the theme of man and God being one is a theme that runs throughout Scripture. God and man dwelling together, all the way from the Garden of Eden to the book of Revelation and the wedding supper of the Lamb and on into the eternal age. And that Spirit's coming into the life of an individual is that part of God dwelling with man in a very intimate and special way. And so we proclaim that union with Christ. But what exactly does that do, and what exactly does that mean? It's sort of mystical, and so it's not really an exact correlation, but let me relate it to something like when you were a child and you got your meaning, you got your reason for being from your family, your mother, your father, perhaps your grandmother, grandparents. And so they were your source of everything. You received your nutrition from them. You received a place to stay from them. You received you received your money from them. All of these kinds of things that you had growing up, you received from your parents. They gave you an identity. That is why I believe it is a struggle sometimes when we lose that last parent, that we have to sort of redefine ourselves in a certain way. Perhaps not so drastically, but we do go through a time of perception where, who am I now? Mom and Dad are now gone, so who am I really? And so as we go through that progression of life, we can relate that to what union with Christ means. We have in him that source of identity, that source of who we are, both spiritually and in a way of the characteristics that we have in him. Now, that also means that as you were born, you received genetic material from mom and genetic material from father, and you came into being. When we receive that Spirit, it's like God's spiritual genetic material comes into us, and we receive that. And just as that genetic material formed you into the young man or young woman that you were and are going to be, and then the person that you are this day, that genetic material influences how you look, how you think about life, how you interact with circumstances in your life. All of those things make up your characteristics. That Spirit coming into us, that Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit, gives to us the characteristics of God the Father. And that Spirit then begins to work within us so that it changes us, that we reflect those characteristics of that Father. All of those kinds of thoughts means that union with is the meaning of union with Christ, is what we celebrate in this, and proclaim, I should say, in this supper. That message of being in him. So if that helps you understand a little better what union with Christ is. is also forgiveness of sin. The life that was required from man in Adam is now given in Christ. That goes way back to the covenant that God had with mankind in the Garden of Eden. How Adam could not live up to that covenant. And now in the New Testament, especially the book of Romans, Christ now becomes the covenant head of the covenant of grace. As we failed, as all failed corporately under Adam's headship, and as I share with the young people, it's like Adam was the team captain. And so whatever he did, it influenced the whole team and trickled down to all of us. And so in Christ, we have that same type of benefit, so that all that Christ accomplished now comes to us through faith. All that he accomplished is just as if we had accomplished it. And so that forgiveness of sins come, the lamb without blemish identity, that we go back to the very first Passover where God instructed Moses to instruct the people to get a lamb of without blemish, which means that it was a lamb of value. And it also represented what Christ would be when he came, that lamb, that sacrificial lamb that lived a life of perfection. There was no sin in him, which made his sacrifice what it was and everlasting. And so we have all of those benefits coming to us that we recognize and remember in this meal that we are getting ready to receive. And it's also that imputed righteousness, that body of flesh. We will hold together when we observe this meal. We will hold together that bread, that piece of bread as you are served, and we'll hold it. And I'd like to ask you to reflect upon that bread as the body of Christ, which is what it symbolizes. What did he accomplish for us in that body? He not only accomplished receiving in our place our punishment for sin, but he also accomplished the life of righteousness that God wants all of us to have as his children. Because it is in that righteousness that we truly reflect that glory of God. Because Jesus wants us to love him by being obedient to him. That obedience represents that righteousness, living in a righteous way by being obedient to the Father. And by being obedient in righteousness and by being obedient in love, when we are obedient in love, that is a persisting obedience. We can be obedient out of fear, but being obedient out of fear means the first chance we get, we're out of here. And there's not a connection. But being obedient in love is a persistent love. Being obedient out of fear is almost like that obedience is being stolen from you because you really don't want to give it, but you're afraid not to. But the kind of obedience that Christ wants us to have is the loving kind of obedience, where we give it freely and often, and we give it persistently and consistently. All of those kinds of things Christ accomplished for us because in his love for the Father, he was obedient out of love, and he served all of the standards that God has set for us, and he did them and he served them perfectly so that we now can have that righteousness and it can be placed upon us in that big term that we have called imputation, where it is credited. Christ's righteousness is credited to us just as Christ accomplished it because he is our team leader, our covenant head. It is just as if we had accomplished it. And so the impact of that sacrifice then directs our steps towards righteousness. It's human nature that the farther away we get from an event, the less impact that event has on us. That happens to all of us. Now, the more tragic that event, the more deeply felt that event, the longer it stays with us. And in a sense, you will never lose the impact of that event. But the farther away we get from it, the smaller the tree becomes. In life, when we have these things that happen to us, these tragedies, these impactful events in our lives, those events can become so large that it's like standing in front of a sequoia in the middle of the forest out in California. And because this tree is so huge and we're just overcome and awed by it, we can't really see God there. But yet God is there in and around that event, the same as He's there for all of His people all of the time, in and around all the events of life. But because this thing is so huge to us, it's like standing in front of that big tree, and that's all that we can see. And so over time, that tree becomes a little smaller. That tree becomes more manageable. It's always going to be large and impactful in some way in our lives, but it becomes a little smaller. And so with the impact of the death of Christ, those who were there that day, they saw it with their own eyes, and they felt it, and they maybe they even heard the whips when they hit His body. Maybe they even heard the pounding of the nails as they penetrated His flesh, and the thump as the cross was raised up in whatever way that they raised that cross. And they were there, they saw it, they heard the suffering, they heard the moaning, they heard all of these things, and it impacted them. And the disciples were there, and they saw it, and it impacted their lives, and that's why they could go out and preach the way that they could do. Because they felt it. It was real to them. But the church today, we don't have that. And so we receive those events on faith. And what this meal does is to remind us of the impact of that sacrifice. So that the impact of this sacrifice then can encourage our walk of faith. When an event happens in our lives that we are affected by it, when someone makes a real sacrifice for us, as I shared with the children, someone paid a huge sum of money to get you out of trouble, how then should you live? What's the impact of that sacrifice upon you? Most of us living in this part of the world would think, well, that'd be a trifling fella if somebody paid a huge sum of money to get him out of trouble, and then he went right back out and got into the same kind of trouble again. Because your life would not honor the extent of the sacrifice that was given. Does that make sense? And that's what we're looking at here today. The extent of the sacrifice. We receive it on faith now because we can't be there. It's not in our memories as we are present there and feel all of that that happened and have it impact us in that way. And so this meal is a representation, a time of remembrance where we remember the extent of that sacrifice and let it have an impact on how we live our lives. And so that's what Christ means. When you feed off of me, when you take me in, that nourishment that we receive, that understanding the extent of what was given to us, and then letting that affect how we live our lives, because we have the impact of that sacrifice. And that's what this meal gives to us in there, that impact of the sacrifice and how it directs our walk of righteousness. And then the impact of Christ's death, as I said, it must be taken in faith. We have to take it in. We have to assimilate it. As that lamb that I talked about a little while ago that was given in to protect the people as the death angel was coming through Egypt on that last plague, and God told Moses to direct the people to take that lamb without blemish and to kill that lamb, and that lamb's blood was to be smeared over the doorposts, and so the death angel would pass over, and that gave the name to that feast, that holiday, that time of remembrance, and what the mighty thing that God did in liberating them from the slavery in Egypt as a metaphor, a symbolism, as to what Christ has done for the church in liberating us from sin and having death pass over us, because now Christ has taken our place and He has stepped into our footsteps and He has taken our beatings. He's taken our punishment. He has been condemned into hell, descended into hell, as our Apostles' Creed states. He took the full extent of our punishment. He died for us. He went to the place of the dead. He died for us. The full extent. And so we remember the extent of that sacrifice this day. The impact of it. It has to impact our life if this meal has any meaning for you. Because the more we are in church, the more we are little church kids that we grow up and we go to Sunday school and we know all of the bird buzz phrases, we know all of the little things that we learn and all the little songs, and we know that if you ask any kid that's going to Sunday school for any amount of time, what did Jesus do for us? He died on the cross. Why did he die on the cross? He died for our sins. But what does that mean? What impact does it have on our lives? How does it change us knowing that? And that's what maturity is all about. That's what growing in Christ is all about. The impact that it has on our lives is not to be lost. Because if we just come to church with our eyes glazed over and nothing penetrates, we just sit there, we punch our clock, we've done our time, and we go home, and now we can live our lives. We can take these pinching shoes off of our feet and this necktie from around our neck, and we can go home and be ourselves again. We don't have to watch what we say. We don't have to watch what we do. We don't have to watch what we, you know, all of that's gone. We punched our clock. And a lot of the church today lives their lives in that way. There's no impact. There's no lasting impact from the church service. It's just something that we do. It's part of our culture. That old country song, good old country boy raises Cain on Saturday, but he goes to church on Sunday. And a lot of us have been brought up in the culture where that's what we do. And we lose the impact of the sacrifice. We don't recognize the extent of the sacrifice. It doesn't touch us in a way that changes our lives. And that's what this meal is about, folks. And if you have not let it change your life, if you have not reflected on the impact, the extent of that sacrifice, if you were going to meet certain death and someone saved you from it, that's the extent. If that's ever happened to you, use that to understand what this meal represents. And if you have not had that happen to you, then imagine what it would feel like to you if somebody snatched you away from certain death. How would it affect you? How would it affect your feelings that you had for that individual, whoever it was? And that's what Christ wants us to remember about him. And understand too that when Christ died on the cross, the earth shook. Light went dark. And so if dealing with sin was horrible enough that creation itself could not look upon it, then what do you think Christ is saying to us about the need that we all have for him as he speaks his truth, his love, his compassion into our hearts? That's what he did for us, and that's what we celebrate. Let me pray for you. Father, this day we come before you asking your grace as we go into this time of communion, this time of remembrance. And so we pray that the impact of what Christ has done for us will be felt by us. That we can proclaim his death by how we live our lives, how that sacrifice changes us. May our life actions proclaim the truth of that sacrifice. May it honor the extent of that sacrifice. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.